went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those 3 times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will? Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 and then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Hontoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Hontoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Bruce Bagan from B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're proud sponsors of When Your Health Matters. Please appreciate that as a pool and spa builder, we are committed to making sure that you can get the most health benefits from owning your own hot water spa. And that's why we carry a full line of Sundance Spas, the world's leading manufacturer of hydrotherapy spas. Relaxation is one of the best ways to take care of your health. And when you own your own Sundance Spa, you can unwind at home every day in the privacy and comfort of your own home. Each Sundance Spa has dozens of precisely placed water jets to pamper you with their massaging bubbles. B&B Pool and Spa Center carries a full line of Sundance spas and is a factory-authorized warranty center. Come to B&B. You'll be amazed at how easy we make it to have your own personal hydrotherapy spa. We'll handle everything for you, so just sit back and relax. Visit the water professionals at B&B Pool and Spa Center, where we've been helping customers relax and enjoy their water since 1972. 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com or call 888-706-4557. That's bbpoolandspa.com or 888-706-4557.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Hontoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We are in Suite 404 of Building 400. We would love for you to come see us and experience what it means to be healthy and to put yourself on a path to get healthy. And if you're interested in changing your current state of health or your current lack of health into something called being healthy and exercising your God-given right, we would ask you to give us a call first. The best way to get a hold of me is to call my cell phone. I'm going to give you my cell phone number, and it's okay for you to call the cell phone number because that's really the only phone number that I have. And that phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. Please do not text that phone as it does not receive texts. It's just a phone for receiving phone calls and making phone calls. But if you do want to do the texting thing, you can do the texting thing to my email. My email is docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick at spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the concerns that you have regarding your health. Having health problems is not what God intended for any of us. And it's the errors and the choices that we make in an effort to understand how to work in this arena called life that causes us to make poor decisions before we learn how to make the good decisions. It's trial by elimination. Mm-hmm. When you've eliminated enough bad choices, there's only good choices left, and that's ultimately the process of life. And the man that helps me do that each week, he's in studio with me. He's a very close personal friend. He's a man dear to my heart. He's a interfaith minister. He's the man that was the officiant at my wedding. He's a marketer extraordinaire. He's a wonderful father and a wonderful human being. And if you want to learn how to do some Tai Chi, get in touch with him because he's a Tai Chi master. And his name is Mark Sabin, and we want to say welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, thanks, Doc. It's great to be here to talk about, you know, what's going on this time of year, because we are often set these shows up to discuss the very cycles that we see in health and the seasons. And because you have studied extensively the Chinese medical theory, which looks at the cycles of nature and then begins to relate how our health associates with that. At this time of year, as we're going into the fall, we shift from the earth element and we go into the metal element. And so what happens to the natural energies as we move into the season of fall?
Well, things begin to shut down, Mark. They die and or shed. If you look at the trees and watch the seasons of fall occur, the leaves change colors as the food to them is lessened. Then they brown due to no food, and then they are shed and fall to the ground. And nature is preparing for the shutdown of winter, and so the season of fall is important. As far as human beings go, it's the harvest time. The crops need to be taken in before they shut down for the winter and get ready for the next growing season, et cetera. And so fall is a very, very important time, and it involves your lungs, your large intestine, and your skin. And so we want to start our focus on that particular time of year and give people helpful understanding and helpful information about those three major organs.
Oh, that's great. So what, in terms of your health, what is the meaning of metal?
The metal refers to the metal element associated with the lungs, the large intestine, and the skin, as I just mentioned. These three filters are our external filters, and they help to keep things from getting into the body that do not belong. This is the part of the five elements that's active in the fall. We have the five elements. We have water, which is the winter time, which is the kidney and the bladder. Then we go to the spring time, which is the wood element, where we get new growth, and that's the liver and gallbladder systems. Then we move into the fire element, which is primarily the heart and the small intestine, but it also includes your endocrine organs of your adrenals and how you manage stress, your thyroid in terms of how you manage your body temperature, your energy, and your metabolism. And then we have our reproductive system. And we move into politically incorrect Indian summer, which involves the earth element, which is the stomach, spleen, and pancreas, which we just recently left. And now we're into the metal element to finish off the year, so to speak.
Very good. So today I wanted to talk to you in particular about the lungs and breathing. And so how does the breath relate to the element of metal?
It's tied to the filtration of the air required for the combustion and metabolism within the cells as propagated by oxygen that we breathe that's carried from the lungs through with they get into the taxi known as the red blood cells, and then they're taken to their destination at the cellular level, depending upon where in the body that it goes. And so as the lungs are an external filter, it provides the filtration to the air that we breathe, and how that relates to the metal or element has to do with those three external filters: your lungs, large intestine, and skin that make up that metal element.
And they're external because they're drawing from the outside world; they're bringing the air in. Then they've got to filter out what the body needs.
What,
and then
the
put
impurities
the
versus what the body actually requires. I mean, from breathing, we essentially need oxygen. We also consume nitrogen associated with it because nitrogen is part of our atmosphere. And we want to make sure that we're excreting the carbon dioxide from the cellular metabolism that makes that as a byproduct so that we can excrete that. And then, you know, all the other things that could be in the air, you know, if you're in a polluted city or if you're a smoker or a vapor or something like that, you want to have your lungs be able to filter those out as opposed to get damaged or injured as a result of those kinds of activities.
But the lungs themselves are actually not doing the work of breathing, are they?
No, not really. The lungs are the organ that they expand and contract based upon your diaphragm, based upon the intercostal muscles, based upon your chest muscles, some of your back muscles. the muscles associated with your rib cage, et cetera. There's a whole mechanism associated with what happens with breathing. I mean, if you're breathing properly, if you're belly breathing, your diaphragm is going to expand downward and push into your abdominal organs. And just the pushing into that and then releasing of that creates a pumping type action that, that helps to facilitate normal peristalsis and normal digestion. So if you're a belly breather, you'll probably have more regular balanced digestion than if you're a chest breather.
Interesting.
People who are chest breathers tend to hold on to things more than let go of things because they don't allow their diaphragm to move. Everything above the diaphragm moves. And it's interesting, you look at somebody who's maybe sitting in front of you or standing in front of you, and when they take a breath in, you see their shoulders rise. Those people are typically chest breathing. Versus if you look at somebody and their shoulders don't move at all, but they're breathing, you'll look down at their belly and you'll see that their abdominal cavity moves. And that's the proper way to breathe, is into your abdominal cavity, as opposed to keeping the diaphragm stationary and moving everything above it. And the wonderful thing about that is, you know, the lung, large intestine, and skin are about letting things go. Things that don't belong, letting them go and excreting them. And that's why those three external filters. But what's fascinating is what helps to facilitate that is the breathing motion. Mm-hmm. And your diaphragm is the processor of your emotions. And
interesting.
So if your diaphragm moves up and down the way that you're supposed to, then you're going to be processing your emotions in a much more timely, balanced fashion. Whereas if you're, you know, people have a tendency when they're stressed out, they don't breathe. They hold, they lock things in. And so if your diaphragm doesn't breathe, then you're not really processing your emotions. You're internalizing them. And that internalization of negative emotion can create lung pathology or skin pathology or large intestine pathology.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, people who have like COPD or emphysema, the problem is not getting the air into the body. The bigger problem is getting the air out. It's that letting go process, right?
That's exactly correct. And any time that I've worked with people who have respiratory issues and people who have the COPD, et cetera, we talk about their emotional reality and, you know, what sort of things have you had difficulty letting go of, or what sort of things are you not grieving through properly, and what kind of loss have you had in your life, kind of thing. And it's interesting where the conversations go, and the people truly appreciate when I start to get into that with them. They start to put the pieces together of why they would have a condition like COPD, and it's because, you know what, they've just simply held on to everything. And, you know, we as men, or just humans in general, we've talked in previous shows about expressing your emotion.
Right.
Versus being stoic and holding it all in, kind of thing. And it's, you know, it's not appropriate in society, unless you're at a funeral or something, to show any level of grief. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, grief is an important thing with regards to letting go and the different stages of grief, so that a person can truly come back into balance. And all of that truly involves getting a good full breath in and getting, you know, breathing out and exhaling and using the diaphragm in the course of that process. And then, so yeah, back to your point, the lungs are pretty passive. It's everything around the lungs that helps to facilitate the air coming in and the air going back out again.
But one of the things, I mean, our producer this morning was asking about the issue of vaping. And one of the things that I just saw in the news just the other day was about an 18-year-old young man who had been vaping for 2 years and had this condition that they're now identifying as being associated with vaping. And the doctors were saying that he had the lungs of a 70-year-old. And this was after just a mere two years of vaping. And he was vaping first nicotine, but then also marijuana or cannabis. And ended up in the hospital, you know, having to be on a ventilator just to be able to breathe,
considering possibly lung replacement or something along those lines. It's interesting that you bring that to the table today, because I was at my brother's house a couple nights ago, and he's got Roku and all these different channels that are not your traditional channels. And so he's like, oh, I think you'll get a kick out of this. So he switched us on this video of these two kids, and they're from Europe, and they were sitting in a car with the windows rolled up, and they were vaping. And they vaped so much that they both passed out.
Oh, my goodness.
And they videotaped this whole thing. And it was a TV show. And I'm sitting there saying, what is wrong with people, you know? I mean, it was entertaining to watch, but I'm shaking my head. It was entertaining only because the stupidity of what people are willing to do to themselves. And, you know, and I, my hope is that people start to realize, society realizes very quickly that this should facilitate the end of smoking in any sort, whether you're vaping or whether you're, you know, smoking cigarettes or cigars or anything like that. My hope is that this creates a strong enough impression in the consciousness of our society that it filters down to children, and children just choose not to go forward with that.
It's, I mean, and they like cigarettes. They do so much to market them to young children and with flavors and all these other things. And
right, and there was the news story, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago, where they were talking about how, like, one of the top companies in New York State, because I was reading a New York newspaper, and they were talking about, you know, this the most popular brand of vaping and the company that manufactures all of it, they were like, well, we're not producing flavored vape stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're definitely doing away with that. And I understand that people want to make profit, and I understand that people want to make a living. But at the end of the day, if you get in the business of producing a product that is harmful to somebody, I just question, where are your morals and ethics at, and why would you get into that business?
Well, yeah, and you have to live with yourself. So people that have lung problems and suffer with things like asthma, and we mentioned emphysema and COPD, or bronchitis and pneumonia, are all these conditions actually lung conditions, or are they something else?
Well, they affect the lungs and breathing, and they can be related to other imbalances within the body depending upon what the situation is. You know, it's like, all right, so people who get a lot of congestion in their lungs, that's typically coming from their large intestine based upon what they're eating. And when you evaluate a person to determine if their body's producing excess mucus that is affecting how the lungs function, mm-hmm. and you determine that it's linked to a particular food, dairy being one of those things that facilitates a lot of excess mucus in the body, when you start to understand that and you help to restore balance within the system that is helping to facilitate the excess mucus production within the body, then it doesn't produce that mucus anymore. And then mm-hmm. conditions like asthma, or emotional asthma, or upper respiratory type infections, bronchitis, etc., those have a tendency to go away.
Well, you just mentioned something I hadn't heard before. Emotional asthma?
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, people who develop deep-seated grief-type emotions, mm-hmm. It's going to affect how the lungs function. And when they're provoked, when a situation happens in their life that causes them to feel that kind of grief, that kind of emotion, that may cause their asthma to start expressing itself, and it only expresses itself when they're in a highly emotionally charged state.
That's interesting. I mean, when we talk about grief, one of the things that's fascinating about how emotions work is that they work in sort of a wave-like manner. They're not always the same. In other words, you're feeling grief, and it'll come up if you've lost someone close to you. There will be moments that you'll have a deep feeling of grief, and then another moment where it seems to have dissipated a bit. So right. Just like your breathing cycles, and you breathe in, breathe out, also the emotions seem to go on a cycle of their own as well.
Right, and at the end of the day, if you look at the cycle of life, I mean, just look at the seasons themselves. There's expansion and contraction. So everything in life is about some kind of waveform. Mm-hmm. And when you understand how to get in the flow of the wave, okay, then things work with you. And when you get out of, if you go completely counterbalance to what the wave is, when it's supposed to be a peak, you're in a valley. When it's supposed to be in a valley, you're in a peak. Mm-hmm. Then life is just literally beating the bejesus out of you.
So there's the old saying that laughter is the best medicine. Of course, laughter causes a lot of breathing. So when that happens, can you talk a little bit about how that might be beneficial to your health?
Well, the laughter itself is a completely different emotional state. Mm-hmm. And that in itself, love and laughter and those kinds of emotions are transformative to anything negative. And so, you know, the best thing that you can do for your health is to laugh often, and to not just laugh on a surface level, but that deep, deep belly mm-hmm. laugh, to where your diaphragm's involved, and you know, you see sometimes, and it's already bringing a smile to my face, where people are just laughing so hard that they're just sitting there crying and they can't stop. And it's like, you know what? Yeah, because your body got to a place where it just had to release whatever you've been holding on to for so long, and whoever said what they said or whatever was done that was, you know, it's like, I'm glad that you're able to laugh, etc. I don't necessarily condone the people that are found in the videos that they put on, but my nephew introduced me to a TV show called Ridiculousness. And all they do is they look at videos and they categorize them based upon a particular category. And, you know, these are all people that did a particular similar incident. And these are different videos of them doing that. And it's some of the things that people do are completely uncomfortably scary. And mm-hmm. some of the things that people do are just absolutely ridiculous. And so Ridiculousness is a valid name. But it's nice to watch those kinds of things. Every once in a while, my wife is like, can we just watch a lighthearted, funny, laughy type movie? Because, you know, it's been a tough week or something like that. And it's, yeah, we have to learn how to recycle. And the breath is the source of that recyclization that goes on in our lives. And that's why it's important for us to be having this conversation today.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking today about if you know, like river otters, who just have these great little lithe bodies, and they just play like children. They just play, and children that play and laugh together and have a good time. And it seems that there's something just so intrinsically basic about what it means to be human to be able to have that kind of quality in your life. To be able to laugh.
And there's a phrase that I've used a lot in my years of practice. Life is play.
Mm-hmm.
So you should make it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much more fun when a person comes in and they're like, oh, I got to go to work. I'm like, you got to rephrase that, because nobody likes to go to work. This is where you've agreed to go spend time in exchange for money. Okay, this is how you're spending a majority of your life. You should turn whatever way you can, turn whatever goes on during the course of your day, turn it into a game. Make it playful. Approach it from the attitude of play, and then you won't ever, quote, work a day in your life.
Mm-hmm. And the whole notion of I have to go to do this is a very different thing than I get to go.
Right, and that's the difference. You know, one of the things that's associated when I listen to people talk and they talk about I have to, that tells me that they're dealing with grief.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the telltale signs that lets me know that a person's carrying around some level of burden. So I can ask them, you know, a couple of questions based upon the statement, I have to do this. You know, tell me a little bit about that. Why do you feel you have to do it? Tell me what the pressures are that's making you feel like you mm-hmm. have. What would happen if you didn't do it? And that just opens up a whole door and a whole litany of things that, oh, if I don't do it, oh, let me tell you what would happen kind of thing. And it's just like, okay, so this is the burdens that this person's mm-hmm. carrying around. Let me see if I can help them lighten the load.
Yeah, and there, I know years ago I knew of a place called the Attitudinal Healing Center.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being able to shift your attitude can do so much, because there are some times where you may have conditions in your life or circumstances in your life that you can't change. I mean, we've talked about Christopher Reeve, who broke his neck and ended up being a quadriplegic and continued to have a very fulfilling life even after the accident.
Correct.
The attitude that you bring to your life instructs so much about what your experience of life is.
Right. And it's one of the conversations that I had with a patient this morning who's a close mutual friend of yours. And he talks about that he approaches every day when he wakes up. He approaches the day with a positive outlook in terms mm-hmm. of, okay, what positive things are going to happen to me today? And I thought that was, not that I haven't had that same thought, but I thought that it was nice for us to revisit that concept, and it just set the tone for our whole visit this morning. And it's just refreshing to see people who are very creative and who are looking for what's the positive in this situation, even though, you know, he's coming to me for a pretty serious health condition. And if it doesn't get taken care of, it's going to devolve into something even more serious. And he's acknowledging that, you know what, it's good that I'm here dealing with this, because I'm going to handle this and put it behind me and get to the blessings that God is setting up for me that I can see on the horizon. And he's excited about his future. But in order to get to it, it's like you have to cut the weights that are pulling you down mm-hmm. so that you can raise up to the levels and elevate your energy, et cetera. And it's just refreshing to see. And I haven't said this yet, but thank you for sending him to me.
Oh,
just
absolutely.
Because he's just a great person to know and interact with.
And I think the whole notion that when you look at the things that life presents to you and that you can reflect back on them, how they have given you something to advance your life, to advance your evolution as a person, is a very important perspective to take on these things, especially
right.
difficult moments.
Exactly. And being able to see the benefit of something even though you have to let go of it.
Exactly.
And it's the letting go that allows you to now go to move on to what the next great thing that God is sending your way.
Well, and that really comes to something that I think is really significant about your approach to health, which is what you do with people who come in with a health issue is you help them let go of that health issue and move on. So sometimes the letting go is to go back to health. And come back from, if you have a condition, to reverse your way back into the point where you're back in health.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is to let go of the thing that is preventing you from having health.
Right. And it's interesting. This is another part of the conversation that I had with our mutual friend here is the fact that when a person claims their health issue,
mm-hmm.
when a person says, my cancer, or my heart disease, or mm-hmm. my autoimmune disease, or my Lyme disease, or my whatever, okay? I encourage people not to claim it. Don't
mm-hmm.
make it mine,
mm-hmm.
okay? It's a condition that's temporary, that it,
passing
it's,
through.
It's I'm passing through it like
mm-hmm.
I'm driving down the highway and I'm passing mm-hmm. through a town. I'm not gonna claim the town. Gonna do my best not even to stop in the town. I'm gonna notice that I'm going through the town, but I'm gonna be focused on where I'm going and not get stuck in the town, so to speak.
Yeah, don't park.
Because people do. They get stuck in their condition. And that's part of what I have to help them let go of is their attachment to whatever the quote diagnosis is and what that means. And, you know, it's like you got to turn the coin over, okay? We got the one side of the coin where you got all this negativity and disruption and all sorts of imbalances going on. Great. We can acknowledge that, but we're not going to stay here. We're going to focus on the other side of the coin. We're going to have a tremendous exhale. We're going to have a release. We're going to mm-hmm. release the emotions by expanding the diaphragm. We're going to take all the tension out of the lungs. Our bowels may actually move because the large intestine is affiliated with the lungs, and the diaphragm moving helps promote the movement of things through the bowel system. And so it's like, you know, people who are constipated tend to be poor chest. I mean, they're primarily chest breathers. They're not belly breathers, and they have difficulty literally letting go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you teach somebody how to let go, okay, wow, my bowels move easier. And
mm-hmm.
it's like, well, yeah, because that's part of the energy.
That's part of the of letting go. Yeah, I have that same experience that you're talking about, which is that I've noticed that that sometimes when I'm teaching and my students in Tai Chi, they have a certain way of identifying themselves. They've had a history where they were told as a child, you have ADHD or you have some condition or some anything of that nature. And what I find is that they identify by that. And so they cling to that identity as that's kind of who I am. And my attitude is, no, just let that go. You don't have to identify yourself in that way.
Right.
There's a lot more to you than that. That's not the sum total of who you are.
Right. And everything is temporary.
Yeah, it all passes through.
Exactly. And you know, it's like we don't get out of here with anything that we currently have, including our physical bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay to have a healthy attachment to things, but it's not okay to have an unhealthy attachment because it's all temporary and it's all going to leave at some point. And, you know, when there's a piece of fruit on the tree, it's becoming more of what it can be. And as soon as it's taken off the tree, it's becoming of less of what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the cycle of life getting back to that waveform.
Right. Right. Well, this is a fascinating conversation, Doc Rick. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to talk to you some more about lungs and lung health and what we can do to make our health better.
Absolutely. But please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Do you have health concerns? Are you or a loved one struggling with a health condition that has you worried? Worried it might get worse? Worried you will never be able to do the things you love anymore? Worried your life is slowly slipping away? Do you have a chronic pain condition? Do you have a specific health concern? Do you have concerns about your child's health? Do you want to learn about health and wellness? If you said yes to any of these questions, you need to go to spineboy.com. Spineboy.com is your information center for all your health concerns and how to restore and improve your health to its highest level. Spineboy.com has over 1,000 articles on different health concerns. Spineboy.com will inform you about your health concerns and what you can do without all the harmful medications and invasive surgeries. If you would like to restore and improve your health, go to spineboy.com. 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 Naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon, from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. If you want to get a hold of me, short of walking into the office, now that you know where it is, you should give me a call on my cell phone. It's the best and only way to get a hold of me. It's area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. You can email me if you'd like. Please don't text my phone because it does not receive texts and I will never get back to you. But if you want to email me, you can email me at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick at spineboy.com. And as always, it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the concerns that you have regarding your health. And speaking of health, today Mark and I have been talking about lung health and what the lungs represent, et cetera. And Mark, I'm sure you have more questions.
Well, I'd like to understand a little bit more some of the pathologies that can happen to your lungs if you do have lung problems.
Okay.
So what are some of the conditions? We talked a little bit, we mentioned asthma. Is that a lung condition or is that a bronchial condition? And what would the difference be between the bronchia and the lungs?
Well, you have your esophagus, and that's what connects the back of your throat down to your stomach, and feeding off of that right behind that and then crossing over to in front of it is your trachea. And the trachea is the entranceway after you get past your epiglottis, which is a little flap that opens and closes and separates your digestive tube from your respiratory tube.
Mm-hmm.
They actually cross right in that part of your throat. So you go down the trachea, which will then go down to cartilaginous, bunch of cartilaginous rings that stand on top of each other, creating a tube, and then that tube's going to split. And when that tube splits, it splits into your bronchi.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got a right and a left bronchi, and then those bronchi, they split into more, and then you get your bronchioles, okay? But between the bronchi and the bronchioles, you get your bronchial tracheal tree, okay? Because it's like a tree that just basically splits in half, and so it's like a tree upside down,
mm-hmm.
with the roots being up towards your mouth, and then the tree grows down into your lungs. And then once you get into your bronchial tracheal tree and you get into your bronchioles, and then those become alveoli, which are the little grape-like sacs that help to make up what ends up being the lung tissue. And that's they're literally one cell thick, and that's where the exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide goes on.
So the bronchioles, are those in your lungs, or are you still in the bronchia?
Those are part of your lungs,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the lung proper. The lung proper comes after the bronchioles when you now start to branch out even more into the alveoli.
Uh-huh. And the lungs themselves, what are they like? I mean, what's the anatomy of the lungs?
It's interesting because I'm thinking about that question. They're essentially like big sponges. There's absolutely minimal weight to them because they're just air passages. They're filled with air passages.
But they're not like a bag. They're not like an open.
No, they're not like a bag. They're like a sponge.
Uh-huh.
And so if you've ever seen a sponge underneath the surface of the ocean,
mm-hmm.
okay, and you've had a natural sponge, if you go, you know, you wash your car with a natural sponge or whatever, that's really what the consistency of your lungs are. I mean, I remember the first time I was in human anatomy and we took the rib cage off and the sternum off of somebody and we got to see the lungs sitting right behind your ribs. And I remember touching the lungs for the first time and it was like, wow, they're literally like sponges. They're very, very spongy. But you know, when we would take the lungs out and you'd hold a lung in your hand, it's like, you know what? It's amazing how light they are because they're They're sponges.
Well, what, you know, we were talking in the first segment about this young boy, young man that had these lung condition from vaping.
Mm-hmm.
And they were looking in, you know, in the x-rays, the doctors could see it was like, it looked kind of cloudy on the x-rays. I don't know how to read x-rays or what that's showing them, but it would seem that now the sponginess of it is being blocked. Is that...
The sponginess is actually being deteriorated. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, I'm trying to think of an example that the listener could appreciate in their own mind. I don't know. It's like you have this big material and there's something in the middle of it that starts eating away at it, and you use time-lapse photography looking at it from the inside, and it's just, you know, first you got something there and then it just seems to just totally disappear and almost essentially evaporate. Well, that's essentially what goes on when you become a smoker or a vapor is you're damaging the lung tissue because you're inhaling these chemicals that are toxic to the body, mm-hmm. and you're ultimately destroying the tissue itself. And so what ends up happening is smokers' lungs on x-ray are mostly black.
Uh-huh.
Because there's no tissue that gets in the way of the radiation that now exposes the film and leaves it as white because the radiation doesn't penetrate the film. But when the radiation penetrates the film, it takes the whiteness of the film and turns it black. And so when you take x-rays of a person's lungs who's a smoker, okay, they're going to be primarily blackness, etc. And when you dissect them out or when you do an autopsy or what have you, you're going to see the person who was a smoker, instead of them being beautiful pink sponges, it's going to be black and tarry and liquidy.
It's all blocked, right? It gets the stuff accumulates.
Very congested, yes.
It doesn't go away.
No.
So if somebody is a smoker and they stop smoking, does the body repair itself?
Well, the body will repair itself if you give it the right circumstances in which to do that. We have a supplement that actually helps to repair the lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And so people who have lung damage, people with a COPD or people with pneumonia or people who have had chronic bronchitis or whatever the lung affliction is, we will put them on that supplement and watch their lung function return. It's interesting. I had a patient quite a number of years ago who, when he came to me, they wanted to do a bilateral lung transplant on him because his lungs were pretty much quitting. And his lung function at the time was 54%. Mm-hmm. And they were like, when it gets down to 38%, it's not even a question. We're going to
replace the
lungs. We're going to put you on the lung transplant list today, and mm-hmm. We're going to monitor this. And that's essentially what they were doing, is they were monitoring it. They were giving him medication, but they were monitoring it. So he came to me, and what was interesting about it was we put him on this supplement, and he kept going back to his doctors for further evaluation because they'd evaluate him every time. And he was going down to Sloan Kettering in New York City. And I went down to meet him there once and wanted to have a conversation with his pulmonologist, but that never actually ended up happening. But he was down there, and hey, they kept doing respirometry tests to see what the functioning of your mm-hmm. lungs are. And they couldn't understand because they were just simply passively medicating him and sitting back and just waiting. You know, they figured they had a big surgery coming up at some point down. It wasn't a question of if, it was just a question of when. And I put him on this supplement and his lung function improved.
And they didn't expect that.
They didn't expect it, but he didn't tell him. He didn't tell them that he was taking this supplement. He's like, this is my ace up the sleeve. When my function gets back above what it was and they're trying to figure out what's going on with you and how's this possible, then he said he was going to tell them, but I don't know that he ever actually told them. And so, yes, lung function that has gone away, there is an ability to recover it if you do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty important to know that you can do that. Now, you mentioned pneumonia, and I know that people get bronchitis. That's typically when you get congestion in the bronchioles.
Mm-hmm.
But pneumonia actually gets into the lungs. So what exactly is pneumonia?
Pneumonia is caused by a bacterium, a mm-hmm. pneumococcus bacterium. And when it infects the lung tissue, okay, it produces pus, et cetera, and there's damage and inflammation and stuff going on there. And that's due to the pneumococcus bacterium, and the person gets pneumonia, and it's like, okay, so they want to treat you with some antibiotics, et cetera.
Right.
And they want to, you know, hopefully kill off the infection so that your lungs can recover. And that would be another circumstance where I would put them on a natural antibiotic so that they're not trashing their whole insides, and also give them the lung support, the lung repair products, and maybe one other ingredient that's going to help deal with the inflammation or the histamine response, and give them some mm-hmm. good high quality whole food antihistamines.
Now, another thing that I'm curious about is drowning, because it's possible to drown in a little amount of water, right? Because it really doesn't it have to do with how much water is actually gets into the lungs?
How much water gets into the lungs and how it affects that lung's ability to function, which is interesting. And yes, a person can die in 1 inch of water due to drowning, but it's interesting because there was this little, I guess, kick that went on for a little while, and it may still go on, I don't know, but I remember hearing about it earlier on in my practice where women were giving birth in water.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the babies would come out in the pool.
Right.
And because they were inside the mother and inside the placenta, I mean, inside the birth sac, et cetera, and that's filled with fluid.
Right.
And so the child is living off of the umbilical cord that provides oxygen, et cetera, but the lungs are filled with fluid, and when they come out and they're born, they're into the pool, lungs are still filled with fluid. And it's like, okay, so we don't have a problem until we stop being in the fluid-filled environment. So mm-hmm. once we come out and we take our first breath and the baby starts crying and what have you, and they start breathing, et cetera, yeah, now we've gone from being able to survive in water to no longer being able to survive in water.
Now, I know you love old movie references, and there was one movie back sometime, probably in the 80s or something, that was about these people that found this way of actually being able to breathe in water. They had some supplemental way of allowing them so they could actually, their lungs would fill with water and they would breathe.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very interesting idea because, like you say, in the womb,
right,
you're in water, and when you see these children who are born in water, and you see them, they wake up, they're swimming around, and they're still attached. They're like totally happy,
right?
Because they're used to breathing through their mother's, through the umbilical cord.
Right. There was a TV show in the late 70s where this guy was. We thought of him almost like an alien, and he had webbed fingers and webbed toes, and.
Mm-hmm.
and It's I don't remember if the show was called Aquaman or not, but and then we just recently, we have the Marvel comic book character,
right,
called Aquaman, and we just had the big blockbuster movie about Aquaman and all that. So it's, there's evolutionary theories that talk about how we evolve from the oceans, and it's like, okay, so that's why we're always drawn to them, kind of thing. And
mm-hmm.
and so it's fascinating.
It's fascinating. Well, we need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to finish off this conversation about lung health.
Absolutely, but please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Do you have health concerns? Are you or a loved one struggling with a health condition that has you worried? Worried it might get worse? Worry you will never be able to do the things you love anymore? Worried your life is slowly slipping away? Do you have a chronic pain condition? Do you have a specific health concern? Do you have concerns about your child's health? Do you want to learn about health and wellness? If you said yes to any of these questions, you need to go to spineboy.com. Spineboy.com is your information center for all your health concerns and how to restore and improve your health to its highest level. Spineboy.com has over 1,000 articles on different health concerns. Spineboy.com will inform you about your health concerns and what you can do without all the harmful medications and invasive surgeries. If you would like to restore and improve your health, go to Spineboy.com. 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 Naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We're located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. Today, Mark and I have been talking about lung health and how your lungs are so important and the different conditions, et cetera. And so what else would you like to cover today, Mark?
Well, we were talking quite a bit about the emotions associated with the lungs. And, you know, there is so much going on in the world today that stimulates a feeling of grief. And since grief is so tied into the lungs, it seemed important to look at, you know, what's going on. Because whether it's global issues such as the environmental devastation that we're seeing, or the activities of these violent extremists, or the gun issues that we're seeing with people who are going in these mass shootings, or wars, or your own personal issues such as life transitions. And people are experiencing grief on a virtually daily basis. So how are you going to contend with all those emotions from all these different places in a balanced way?
Well, hopefully with the help of someone who can lessen their burden for them and help the person process them fully into completion. Then they don't need to come up again in the future. They simply become a memory without any of the emotional trauma that's associated with it.
So what advice do you have for somebody who wants to try to keep his or her head above water?
You want to find support and express your emotions in a healthy and safe environment. And, you may need to go outside of your current network of people or friends, because you may need to consult with a professional that has an ability to help guide you through without getting sucked into whatever your emotional reality is, and stay objective and help create some objectivity for you, the person who's emotionally being affected by things that are based in emotion, not necessarily based in reality.
Well, and we're culturally, we sort of made to feel like we have to get over these losses and things rather quickly. And anybody who's gone through the loss of someone close will tell you that you never really get over it. So you need to be able to move forward.
Yeah, process the grief in a safe environment, again, with someone who can guide you through it to completion and all the different stages of grief, et cetera, and just help you get more balanced and moving in the right direction.
Yeah, and I mean, you were talking about the fact that this is an impermanent existence, that we're all there letting go as part of what we have to go through. And so when you do that, you know, and you realize that this is impermanent, how do you resolve the emotions that come up along the way?
With the right support person who is trained to help you through the process and not get attached to the person's emotional reality, they're the best person for the job. A person who has compassion and knowledge on dealing with health from an emotional perspective becomes important. I mean, it's everything in life evokes emotion within a person, whether it's a positive emotion or a negative emotion. Mm-hmm. So we are emotional beings.
Right.
We're constantly experiencing emotion. And if we don't have the appropriate system in which to process that emotion, again, going back to the diaphragm and being a belly breather as opposed to a chest breather, you're going to internalize those emotions. And over time, they will affect whatever organ is being forced to store the emotion, like anger is a liver emotion.
Uh-huh.
Fear is a kidney emotion. Grief is a lung emotion. Self-esteem is a spleen emotion. And so if you're experiencing those negative emotions on a regular basis, it's going to impact the function of that organ or gland. And so it would be the job of the provider, somebody like myself, who can help facilitate releasing the trapped energy and supporting the return to normal balance and function.
So when you're talking about release, and we're talking about the breath, and we're talking about the lungs, will that letting go process be able to happen for all those different emotions that you talked about that are associated with the different organs? Is that going to be helped by this, the impact of the lungs being able to fully release?
Well, yeah, but at the end of the day, you're not going to release a lifetime of trauma in one sitting.
No.
You know, as your body's willing to deal with things, that's what's going to come up in the process of helping you to release them. And, a lot of this has to do like peeling an onion. Okay, there's going to be several layers to it, and each layer is going to make you feel better, but you ultimately want to get to the core of things so that you can address that, and then that eliminates the whole patterning in your body that causes you to continue to stuff things in that particular vein of dysfunction.
And I think that there's a way in which, you know, we have emotions are kind of at this critical
pivot point where the emotions will then lead your thoughts to certain directions. And so if you have negative emotions, that may precipitate negative thinking. But there are also there are other feelings beyond what we just the emotional feelings. There are feelings that, that go through your body that are also part of the process of being a human being. So that when you have emotions, you may recognize that you feel those emotions in a particular place in your body.
That's absolutely true. And again, going back to the fact that we're all emotional beings experiencing emotion in the process of life. And if you care about life, it is going to evoke you emotionally. Mm-hmm. The more you care, probably the more emotional you're going to be.
Uh-huh.
But if you know how to keep things balanced and in perspective, it's okay to be emotionally invested in something, but you want it to be a balanced emotional investment, not an unbalanced emotional investment. Because when a person is out of balance emotionally, they're not rational, and they're going to take non-rational actions, and they're going to create non-rational outcomes. And we would like for society to have a rationale to it and to be in balance rationally. So we need to help these people who are emotionally out of balance and have compassion and nurture them back into balance, because it goes back to what the purpose of being a human being is, which is to support and help other human beings.
Well, I think that's such an important point, because we are creatures that live in society. We need one another. And so the fact that you're talking about needing support from various people, professional people perhaps, that have the expertise to help you through processing all these emotions, it's really critical that people don't have to just do this by themselves, because it's not one of those things that you can do. It's kind of like being on the hamster wheel when your feelings and you just keep going through the same narrow band of thoughts. You need sometimes to have help with somebody that has expertise to be able to help guide you and move you back forward, as opposed to just circling around the same things.
Right. And the purpose of having an experience in life is you may not necessarily understand what the purpose of that experience was in the moment, but with time passing and you resolving and coming to a place of balance from having had that experience, in the future when somebody that you come across has a similar experience, then you have the expertise, you have
you
the
can help.
Experiential understanding of what you can do to help lessen their trauma mm-hmm. of going through a similar experience. And, you know, that's again goes back to what the purpose of life is, and the purpose of being a human being is to help facilitate ease and peace and comfort within yourself and with other human beings.
And that's clearly what your purpose is. And so as we conclude this show, I just want to give you one more opportunity to let people, if they would like to contact you, know how to best reach you.
The best way to do that would be to call me on my cell phone. It is the thing that I carry with me everywhere I go. It happens to be in my hands right now. That phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the concerns that you have. If you are somebody that has lung conditions, lung health issues, if you're tired of taking the prednisone or the inhaler or the respiratory, whatever kind of things that they have you on, and you want to try to get off of that and really deal with and confront whatever it is that you're holding on to yourself, I'd be happy to do that for you. Please give me a call again, 845-561-2225. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for your listenership. I really appreciate knowing that you guys are out there listening to the show, and I hope that the message and the information that Mark and I share with you each week is positive and helpful for you. So thank you for tuning in. I'm going to ask you to tune back in next week, same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
Started out as a headache, has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger, now is a swollen foot. Doctor, I've been out of breath, and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all diet and exercise, I'd rather give you a pill. The thing is, there might be some side effects, you mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill. I looked on the internet, checked out a medical site. It said you may not be depressive, but then again you might.
If you're worried that you are, then take this simple test. Obviously, you need a pill. You know how one is best. The thing is, there might be some side effects. Oh, I'd heard that before. I've been rushing back to the doctor. He said, are you looking for more? On top of that, 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 I grabbed him by the stethoscope. I said, doctor, the reason I came, I'm wise to your little game. You and the pharmaceuticals and your medical insurance pals, you want us to stay ill so you can push your pills, making maximum gain and profit from our pain. And on top of that, 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 since I began this tirade, I've been feeling better.